All right, guys, back with part two for Dallas Checklist. Let's get it. Guys, don't forget, if you have any questions, any topics of conversation that you want us to speak on the podcast on, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. Our Instagram is Arc Matters Podcast. Just shoot us a quick DM. We actually did get a question. That episode is probably already posted. It's a question from the UK. But also, if you want to be a guest on the podcast, feel free to DM us. We can possibly do it over the phone if you're not local to Dallas. But if you are, we'd love to bring you into the studio. We're in a new space. We're trying out a new space, trying out some new sounds, trying out some new topics, trying to just be well-rounded and get you guys as much information as possible. So let's get it. So guys, first of all, if you haven't checked out the previous episode, it's episode 69. It is on the Dallas 1 and 2 family dwelling remodel and renovation checklist. There's actually only 4 drawings. You can actually squeeze it down to probably less, but at most for that checklist, I really only see 4 drawings that are required to get that permit. Now, if you think there's more, let me know. DM us. I'd love to hear your opinions. Love to hear if you actually had any troubles or if everything went smoothly for a project of that nature. But let's get into this part two. So on this episode, we're going to talk about the addition to 1 and 2 family dwellings, right? So that's if you're residential, it's already built, right? Let's say it's a 3-bed, 2-bath, and you want to add on an addition, you know, an extra bedroom and an extra bath, or just an extra bath, or a patio, or a shade structure, or whatever the case may be. So we're going to get into that. And again, this is specifically for the city of Dallas. Go listen to the previous episode, episode 69, for where to get this information. All right. So this is the application checklist and required documents for an addition to a 1 and 2 family dwelling in the city of Dallas. Now, as always, by checking each requirement below, we are stating that you have supplied the correct and complete information. In the event that the required information is not contained in the submitted documents, you will be notified of the deficiency. Now, failure to supply the additional request information within those 5 working days after notification may result, which most likely result in your application being delayed and eventually discarded. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means now a new application, the original application, the complete plans, and a new checklist required. A new checklist will be required for a resubmittal. And of course, as always, the resubmittal will be treated as a brand new application, right? Across all the boards, you will be dead last and will be processed in the order of the receipts. Now, of course, if that happens, you played yourself. You cannot be doing that, guys. That is straight foolery. All right. So again, number one, as always, this is going to be on every single checklist. The first thing you need to make sure you do, which actually might be the last thing they end up doing, you need to provide a completed permit application. We already went over that in the previous episode, episode 69, the contractor's responsibility. Second thing is, this one has 6 points and a bunch of little things. We're going to have more drawings with this because it is an addition. Right. Number two is you need to provide the following demonstrating compliance with the energy code and green building ordinance. Now, that's a completed residential green building program plan, review compliance affidavit, and application checklist from a registered third party green building provider, as well as a completed energy compliance path form provided by a registered third-party energy provider. This is something that you're not doing. You as the drafter, you as the designer, you as the architect, this isn't your responsibility, but it is something that needs to be included because they're clearly stating that. That'll be the contractor's responsibility. Haven't done that proposal and invoice episode yet, but I would clearly state in your contract and proposal that you will not be providing energy code and green building ordinances. We are designers, we are architects, we're future architects, we're drafters. This isn't part of our responsibility we're not specifically trained for this. We may know a little bit about it because that's what architects do. We know a little bit about everything, but this isn't our realm of specialty. Third thing, you will need a certified county plat. Now, that is required for all jobs. I know that wasn't required on the previous episode. However, if you're going to be doing a site plan, you do want that survey. Now, a survey and a county plat, pretty much hand in hand, you know, that county plat acts as a survey. If you're going to be, you know, recreating that site plan, you need that county plat to create that site plan. You're going to be tracing it. Survey can also be the exact same thing, a little bit more information, and that'll help you get that site plan. So obviously every city has, or every county actually, this has like five different addresses. Every county has a different address, and you can go there or call them up and see if you can get a county plat. That is public record. It is online. However, I believe it's after a certain amount of years. I want to say 10. That thing's in the garbage. So good luck. You might have to end up getting it replatted. Not replatted, but you know, someone to go out there and get you a new plat or survey, whatever the case may be. So far, it's a permit application, you know, providing the following, demonstrating compliance with the energy code and green building ordinances and a certified county plat. Now, the fourth thing is provide two copies of a site plan to include. Now, this is very similar, right? We already heard this in the previous episode for the renovations and remodels. We need a site plan with a legal description on site plans, lot, block, and address, obviously. Drawn to standard scale, obviously. Completed with dimension. I mean, this is just day one architecture school, right? North Arrow. We already talked about this. Show all property lines. Indicate the length meets bounds. Label the footprint. Outline of all the structures. Any projections beyond the foundation line. We already talked about that. And then for projects with new drive approaches, you need to show the location of all the existing and proposed drive approaches, internal maneuvering, sidewalks and curbs. You want to indicate the location of all the utility poles, stormwater intels, and inlets. And that's going to be on your survey, right? So you're basically just retracing all that information that's already there. If they don't have one, they're going to have to pay a surveyor. If push comes to shove, you can always just go out there and do your own site visit, you know, Google Earth, Google Maps, you know, ArcGIS, and pray for the best. I wouldn't recommend that at all. But if you know what you're doing and you have people on your team who are familiar with surveying and locating, some utility poles, stormwater inlets, etc., that could be quite a possibility. Now, if you don't have that survey and you need the setbacks and all that, you can just look up your zoning and you can get all the setbacks, easement setbacks, etc. Next thing is you need two fully dimensioned building plans drawn to a standard scale and legible, which include, now this is what I was talking about in the previous episode where, you know, it said fully dimensioned building plans, you know, multiple plans. Like, what does that mean? Like, plans are just, you know, floor plans. Well, plans could also mean other things, right? Like RCP, edge of slab, like I mentioned. This one is getting more specific. So on the previous one, I am starting to think that you really are only needing that floor plan, dimension plan, and the existing plan. Because in this one, it goes much more in detail. So you need two copies of all of these. You need a foundation plan. If it's it says post-tension slab is required to be engineered and submitted with an engineering letter. So remember, guys, you're always going to need an engineer on most of your projects. So if you are, you can do the edge of slab plan. You need a foundation plan. If it's going to be post-tension, make sure your engineer has a foundation plan in their set. And then there's a little note for a second story addition. You don't have to shy away from second stories, two-story residential houses. A little bit more work, a little bit more fee and drawing requirements for both you and the engineer, especially the engineer, because of that second floor framing and load-bearing walls. But besides the case, so if you are doing a second story addition to an addition of a single family dwelling, the engineer letter is going to be required to verify that the foundation, right, the existing foundation and the first floor framing can actually support the second story in accordance with the Dallas Residential Code standard that's going to be everywhere within city limits. Now, you're also going to need engineered construction documents. Those are required, same thing with the engineered trusses that we mentioned, or products and non-conventional construction like steel framing, because that's non-conventional for single family. It's type 5A wood frame construction. or any other construction defined in the Chapter 3 Dallas Residential Code. Chapter 3, we will definitely go over that. We've talked about it on one episode. With different construction types. Once we get the team back together and that IBC book cranked open, we will definitely go over that. So we're still on the fifth point, right, where we need these two copies of fully dimensioned building plans. So in addition to the foundation plan and some engineer drawings, you're going to need elevations of the front, left, right, and rear, clearly showing the grade level and the height of the building. This is important because you're doing an addition, and they low-key also want to see like the relationship between the proposed addition and the existing, especially because of if there is, this is a totally different, requirements when it comes to HOA, right? So a lot of these things that I'm listing now, it's going to be required for HOA as well. So just make sure, if your project is in an HOA area and they do have those requirements, make sure you cross-check what's needed so you're not doing double work or et cetera, et cetera. You can always just combine some information. So they need some elevations of all sides. You're going to need the floor plans labeled and dimensioned. You need wall and roof framing plans, which you can do as a design intent, but an engineer needs to have those as well. Roof plan and covered materials, we can do that. Door and window scheduled, labeled, sounds good. Details to clarify any habitable attic, an attic with limited storage, attic with no storage, et cetera, as necessary. And then the location of existing smoke detectors, proposed location of new smoke detectors when required. And the last thing is all aspects of the construction project complies with the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA LEED, renovation, repair, and painting program rule 40 CFR part 745. And of course, those additional requirements that I'll go over at the very end. So again, the previous episode, episode 69, that's part one of this series of three. It has the checklist for the, I'm trying to remember off the top of my head, the renovations. And yeah, for the renovations, only required four drawings. You could probably cut down to three, right? You definitely need that site plan. And then you need the floor plan that shows the existing, the demo, the proposed, right? That could be three or that could be two drawings. And then you'll also need a reflected ceiling plan. Now, not really, if you're really only showing those smoke detectors, you can throw that into the proposed plan. But in this one, it's a lot more specific, right? So drawing requirements that us as a drafter, the designer, the architect, again, these projects, didn't mention it, but these projects don't have to, they don't require a licensed architect to stamp and seal the drawings, right? So a drafter can easily do these as long as you're providing the site plan, boom, one drawing. And then you need these fully dimensioned plans. So you need a foundation plan. So we would do the edge of slab. We would do the elevations. That's a third sheet. You do the floor plan. Now, you do want the existing, so you can just see what's existing. You can hatch it, and then you can see your proposed. So that's the site plan. That's a site plan, edge of slab, elevations, floor plan. Then you need some wall and framing plans. That's five. Roof plan, six, door and schedule, maybe that fits on another sheet, maybe it doesn't, or maybe the, and then there's details that can go into that. So that's about seven sheets versus your four, right? And if it's a real small project, you're actually fitting multiple drawings on multiple sheets. So for the previous episode, you needed four drawings. That could probably go on three sheets, right? Depending on the size of your project. This one, you need about seven. Can probably go five or six, right? So you're getting a little bit more detailed. I forgot to mention, of course, the location of the existing smoke detectors, proposals. You don't need an RCP, but again, floor plans, labeled and dimensioned. I mean, that could might as well be a reflected ceiling plan. Better safe than sorry. Of course, you're going to need it. Of course, the contractor is going to need it. The subs are going to need it. You might as well do it and put it into your proposal. But from the looks of this, it doesn't clearly state an electrical plan. It doesn't clearly state a reflected ceiling plan, but I would fight and push for it. To wrap it up, This is a short one, the additional requirements. So again, if you didn't hear the last episode, it's going to be the exact same thing. All the documents submitted for review must be drawn to a standard scale. We got to do an eighth, 16th, whatever case may be. Don't reduce it. So not reduce of sufficient size to be able to read, take accurate dimensions for plan review, and be read after scanning. So, you know, that's why they never want hand drawings to be submitted, anything like computer-aided design, CAD, Revit, a bunch of other programs. Like you can even use Rhino or any other computer software. So this checklist is not intended to address all the issues that may arise, but addresses the most common ones. Additional information may be necessary for the issuance of the permit. See, now they're catching you. On the previous one, they didn't mention this. I don't remember that. But on this one, they're saying, oh, wait, hold up. They're like, hold on, man. They're like, whoa, this ain't everything you need, but it's pretty much what you need. But now, if there's additional necessary information that we need, they're basically saying that they're still allowed to ask you for it. But this will pretty much get you the gist. And that's actually a great little disclaimer pretty much for them, because like that RCP, it's not mentioned, right? So you can submit thinking you got everything, but then because of number two, this checklist is not intended to address all the issues, they might come back to you and be like, hey, we actually need a reflected ceiling plan. Please provide that. Now, if you didn't include that in your fee, then, I mean, that's up to you how you want to, you know, proceed with that with your client. And then for projects that impact the exterior of the building, walls, windows, doors, roof, etc., and are located in the conservation district, I mean, it's the same thing with the conservation district and the historic district. There's going to be additional forms to fill out. Permits may only be issued to a registered contractor with a proper license and other credentials. A form board survey is required prior to the foundation inspection, and you have to submit to the building inspector. And then for permit applications on or after September 1st, 2016, the energy code compliance certificate must be submitted to whoever, this is, you know, specifically to Dallas, prior to the final inspection. You sign this, you date it, you submit all this stuff to, well, the contractor would submit this and check off everything that you received, everything. But these are everything that you would have to be submitting to the contractor. Contractor filled this out, also fills out the permit application, and you're good to go. So on the next episode, we're going to be talking about new construction. There's about 3 pages of information. We're going to have a lot of overlap, but there's going to be some new things that's going to be required for here in Dallas. So stay tuned. So I appreciate you guys always, weekly listening in. We hope to get you some more great content and information. And again, we'll see you next week.